Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness.
Thanks, Ed. It'd be really great if you can keep that passage open. I would like someone who I can coach just for 1 minute. Somebody who's prepared to be coached on a tennis forehand. Who would like to be coached? Come on in up, Abby. Let's have you. You're probably excellent already, but I've got a tennis racket and I need to coach someone. All right, here's the plan. If you stand on there, I'm going to demonstrate, and then I'm going to put the racket in your hand, and I'm going to trust that you're going to do just what I said. So the aim is to strike the ball from low to high like that. You need a backswing, so low to high. Okay, let's see if you can do that. Okay, let's stop. Let's get this grip right, first of all. Okay, now you need to turn slightly more sideways. Now you need to have a decent backswing and then low to high. Go. Better. But that was a scoop. I want a bit of topspin. So I want you to drive like that. Okay, I'm just showing you the racket. That's it. Okay, one more time. That'll do for now. Thank you very much. I think there's potential. What would you like to be when you grow up? Most of us have grown up wanting to be good at something. I wanted to be a good tennis player. Admiring those who are the best at that thing in the world. For lots of young people, it's been famous footballers that they've admired. They want to be like them. Sometimes it's superheroes they've watched in films. We want to be like them. Super strong or super quick, always rescuing other people or saving them from danger. It's a nice dream, but that's all it is for most of us, just a dream. Jesus isn't looking for super football skills or superhero status. He's looking for something very ordinary people like you and me can be. Ordinary people going to school, growing up, learning a musical instrument, living in ordinary places. It's something that won't make you famous. But as far as Jesus is concerned, it's the thing that matters more than anything else. Look at chapter 3, verse 13. Here's the question we want to answer. Who is wise and understanding among you? Are you wise? Do you have wisdom? First of all, James is not talking about cleverness. How quick you are to learn your times tables or write a poem or be able to answer exam questions. It's not about that. Thank goodness. I can't write a poem to save my life. He's not talking about knowing lots of facts about the world or people or history. It's not where you got your degree from. Or you've got a PhD. No, the kind of wisdom God is interested in cannot be marked in an exam. You won't get marks for it, and sadly, it's not often the kind of thing people are looking to pay for when they're employing someone. This is godly wisdom we're talking about. And the answer to the question, who is wise and understanding among you, is there in verse 13. Who is wise and understanding? That person will show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Okay, two people to introduce you to. There's Jenny. She isn't sporty or smart, but she's brilliant at looking out for other people, especially those who are sad. On Sunday mornings, she's not thinking about herself. She sees someone come into church looking sad, and she goes over and sits down next to them and encourages them. Jenny is wise. And then there's Johnny. He hasn't got the latest trainers, and he isn't top of his class for anything, but he can see when someone else is being mean, and he doesn't like seeing anyone made fun of. So what Johnny does is he goes over and says something kind or encouraging, and bullies don't know what to do when people aren't laughing with them or joining in. Johnny is wise. Jenny and Johnny, they're not specially clever, but in those two situations, they are the kind of wise that Jesus wants. They find schoolwork hard, they dread tests, they have to do extra work to keep up sometimes, but they are wise. There are things about their lives that show that they have humility that comes from wisdom. That is, they're thinking about other people. But James says there are two kinds of wisdom. I wonder if you heard that in the passage. There's the wisdom we've just mentioned, which we'll find out is a wisdom that comes from heaven, from God. And there is a worldly wisdom, which James says is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. It comes from demons. It comes from down below. So I'm not going to call that hellish wisdom, a heavenly wisdom. That is hellish wisdom. So if you got the picture, two kinds of wisdom, heavenly and hellish. And James gives us ways of spotting the two kinds of wisdom. I wonder, as I describe each kind, you might think hard about your own life. You might be surprised or even shocked to find out there's some hellish wisdom in you. Look at verse 14. If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't boast about it or deny the truth. That kind of wisdom doesn't come from heaven. It's unspiritual, earthly, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, should we put those two words up? There it is again. Then you find disorder and every evil practice. Envy is hellish. Looking at what other people have and wishing you had it, and sometimes doing whatever you can to get what they have, that's hellish. You see it in the playpen when people are very small. Two children are playing, one child picks up a shiny toy, the other child likes the look of it and tries to take it off them. Has that ever happened in your house? I don't believe you. It's happened in my house. That is hellish wisdom. That is envy working itself out. Grown-ups see it at work. They see someone else do well, do better than them, and they don't like it. They can't be happy for the other person. They are jealous. They want what the other person has, and then they start plotting and planning to take it. Probably not snatching. Oh, thank you very much. I'll put that one back here for you. Probably not snatching. It's too obvious. But saying things to other people that are unkind or untrue about that other person. They try to bring the other person down. Have you seen that in the workplace? Envy often goes with selfish ambition. It is ugly. Look closely and you'll find disorder and every kind of evil. Being around people like that is disorderly. It's unbalancing. They make you feel like you're walking around on eggshells. It's frightening. They say things that are unkind and shocking. They smile with their mouth, but their eyes are cold. Do you remember Cain and Abel in the Bible? Cain got jealous of Abel, he was envious of him, and it led to bitterness, and eventually he killed his brother. You might not have killed your brother yet, but can you think of times that you've shown hellish wisdom? Being jealous of someone else being asked to do something at school, someone being praised for their work, and you've just wanted to smash it down because it's not you. That is hellish wisdom. And unchecked, it leads to every evil practice. Envy leads to stealing and often fighting. And if a powerful person gets envious and jealous and bitterly ambitious, they can lead their whole country into war. And that is exactly what Mr. Putin has done in Russia. He has led his country to war in Ukraine because he is bitterly envious and jealous. People have died because of hellish wisdom. Yuck, I hope you can see how horrid it is. Now let's look at heavenly wisdom. This is wisdom, verse 17 and 18, that comes from heaven, and it is first of all, what's the word? Can you read it?
Pure.
It is pure. Here is some pure water. I'd be happy drinking this, would you? Here is some contaminated, dirty water. This is not pure. It's got puddle water in it. Now, I see my dog drinking this sometimes, but I wouldn't recommend you do it. Not pure. Jesus' life was pure. It was holy. There was no lying in him. Are your lives pure and not stained by dirt? No nasty things that you said or done, perhaps in secret? The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then it's peace-loving. Some people are always looking for an argument. They say they like to play the devil's advocate. Have you heard that? They disagree a lot. Others are peace-loving. They find words that are gentle. They find ways to say things, hard things, that are kind. If they see two people angry with each other, they will do what they can to bring peace. In fact, they'll willingly choose to give up something of their own to bring peace. That is what Jesus did. And the wise follower of Jesus will be willing to do the same. That's important, and James comes back to it at the end. So pure and peace-loving, then considerate. Jenny loves to listen to her music, but her brother likes different music. So what does Jenny do if she's considerate? She puts her headphones on, so she doesn't make everyone else have to listen to her music. Johnny can see Mum is busy cooking lunch for guests and coming soon, so without being asked, he sees that he can help. He's considerate, and he lays the table. And afterwards, when there's a lot of clearing up to do, he doesn't slink off to his room to play on his computer game. He stays and helps. He's considerate. Jenny and Johnny are being considerate. They are considering others' needs above their own. That is what Jesus did for us. He considered our needs above his own. Next, submissive. Jenny and Johnny respect their mum and dad. They don't argue if they've been given a job to do. They know their mum and dad are under God's authority, and they're submitting to God as best they can. So Jenny and Johnny know it's okay to be submissive. Some would say they're teachable. They don't mind being taught stuff. In fact, they like learning. Are you like that? Are you teachable? Jesus submitted to his Father and did his will even unto death. It's okay to be submissive. Full of mercy and good fruit. Showing mercy is not treating people the way they deserve to be treated. And didn't Jesus do that his whole life? He spent time with tax collectors and sinners. He spoke gently to those who hated him. He prayed for those who nailed him to a cross. That is mercy. And good fruit. Well, do you know what the fruit of the Spirit is? Have you learned that at home? Could anyone tell me? The fruit of the Spirit is? Ooh, could you? Go on then, stand up and say it out loud so we can all hear. Love, joy, Goodness and the most important one for little boys, self-control. Well, can we give them a round of applause? That was a fine effort. Well done, Caroline and Richard. Impartial and sincere. That means they don't take sides. They're fair. His judgment can be trusted. He won't say one thing to one person and say exactly the opposite thing to another person or behind his back. He's fair. You know, in football, when the ball looks like it's hit the post and bounced down and gone inside the goal but bounces out again and nobody can be quite sure, Jenny and Johnny, if they saw that it had gone across the line, even if it was their own side being scored against, they'd say that was a goal. They'd be impartial and sincere. You can trust every word they say. They mean what they say. Jerry, however, was asked to do a job by his dad, and he said he would, but then he forgot. Actually, he decided he'd do it later, but he still forgot. Was he sincere when he said he would? I think not. He shows it by the way he acted. So, can you see some of the marks of heavenly wisdom? So different to hellish wisdom. It's not wise at all. You don't get marks or grades for heavenly wisdom, but Jesus sees it. And he's seeking to grow it in each and every one of us. Heavenly and hellish wisdom. Last line. Let's look at the last line of what was read. Can you all have a look down? Read it with your mums and dads. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. You know about sowing seeds and waiting for what seems like ages and in the end harvesting something? I love it. The best harvest I've had is sunflower seeds. Have you got them? You plant one sunflower seed and you get these sunflower heads with hundreds. Sow a seed of heavenly wisdom, and you'll be reaping a harvest of righteousness. You'd think it was all about doing planting, wouldn't it? Sowing seeds in peace yourself. But if we've been listening to James and we've been hearing him rightly, lots of what he says we are to do as believers, we cannot do by ourselves. We aren't pure, considerate, peace-loving, full of mercy, are we? I know I'm not like that on my own. I need a coach. I need a helper. I need a teacher. Someone who can come alongside me and help me. I was trying to help Abby with a bit of coaching this morning. God gives his children a coach. Do you know who that is? He gives us the Holy Spirit. Who's had a swimming teacher? Has everybody had a swimming teacher? You've had a swimming teacher. Can you remember them? Anyone remember their name? Can you remember your swimming teacher's name? Jackie. I know Jackie. She's here at the school. They help you. They encourage you. Well, Jesus gives us his word, and he gives us the Holy Spirit to teach us to humbly accept that word. So actually, the word planted in us is done by Jesus. And if we're going to be heavenly wise, what do we need to do? James chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. What do we need to do? Can anyone remember? Humbly accept the word planted in you that can save you. Do not merely listen and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do you remember that? That's our memory verse. Will you be heavenly wise? It's not about being clever. It's not about being brilliant at school. You can be really, really bad at school, but heavenly wise. And you can be really, really clever at school, but hellishly wise. It's not about cleverness. It's about humbly accepting God's word. That's what I'd love us to sing And at the end of the song, we're going to sing that memory verse together. Joanna's going to help us with the actions at the top. Then I'll have a chance for you to ask me some questions. So let's think about that. If you want to remind yourself of it, James chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. And we're going to sing the memory verse. Is there anything that you'd like to ask or anything you'd like to say that might be encouraging for other people? Well done, listening to the word. Andrew, let me say it for the vid. Try and act in a redemptive way for all concerned. That was advice in the workplace. It sounds very wise. It sounds heavenly wisdom. It sounds like that list encompassed it all. Act in a redemptive, i.e. saving way for everyone. Really good. Anyone else? Anne. That's right. It's right. But he does, it's amazing. He seems to call it, he says, such wisdom, inverted commas, doesn't come down from heaven. It's not wisdom at all, is your point. Yeah. It's actually foolishness and hellish, demonic. Yeah. Thank you. Anyone else? Well done, youngsters, for listening in. Got something to talk about. Heavenly wisdom and hellish wisdom over lunch with your mums and dads. I'm going to hand back to Laura.